Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we welcome Mark Simon, the man behind the curtain, as they get ready for the PGA Buying Summit in Frisco, Texas. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'll be along, and you will be this hour as well, because we're going to delve deep into the upcoming PGA Buying Summit set for July 29th through the 31st, where? In nice, sweltering Frisco, Texas, that is. And the guy who knows it firsthand and was a gracious host last year and had a little bit cooler weather. I think it was only 105 that day, but, you know, probably sweltering 110 or so. But, hey, Mark Simon will probably do most of his good work inside. He's going to sneak out to the putting green late, probably around midnight, and be there. But we'll let him tell all that story. We welcome Mark Simon back to Teed Up with Keith Jones. Always a pleasure, my good man. Thanks so much for making time. I wanted to make sure we got you on early enough in the month, because here in the next few days, things are going to get super crazy for you. Not that they haven't stayed crazy since last year. So thanks for making time.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you having me on, Keith, and we are definitely gearing up. I can't even believe a year's gone by since we were hanging out in Frisco last summer. Crazy.
Yeah, it was great to be there and experience it firsthand, and to hang out with the putting master, the putting sensei. That is Mark Simon. And I'm not sure what you have planned for this year, but I'm sure it probably will have a hard time surpassing last year. So I know you always try, but it was pretty good.
Well, yeah, we think the formula that we set for the event last year went really, really well. Definitely some tweaks, enhancements, changes. One of them that I think you not so subtly alluded to was kind of the temperature for the outdoor events that we have. We did listen to our audience and actually just the common sense. And we did move the outside events, the Summer Jam Festival that we're having, to 7 to 11 p.m. So it will not be 110. It'll be probably in the 80s, a lot more comfortable. And we're excited for all that we have planned coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, all right. You just said 80s. Okay. I'm going to make sure that we check that week, part of the week, and see if it ever goes down to a mere 80 degrees, and then we'll have him back on the show, and then he'll have to explain himself that he is the greatest weather forecaster ever.
The low temperature, Keith, not the high, the low temperatures.
Oh, I know. I would have taken 90, and I'm not usually one to say that, because the U.S. specifically has been getting crushed with this heat, and it's just it doesn't matter where you live. It's just really, really bad a lot of the times.
Very true. I mean, even here in Connecticut, we're getting it now, but you just got to play in the evening or in the morning. And I don't think it's stopping this momentum that the great game of golf has right now. And courses are still packed here, whether it's hot or not. So that's a great thing for sure.
Yeah. And how is the Simon and the Simon family handicap and golf game going? Let's get that right out in front.
No, appreciate that. I think, as I told you last year, I wanted to get back into a little tournament golf. I have the Connecticut Mid-Am qualifier a week from today. So game is, I feel like, in good shape. I don't want to make any predictions, but my first foray back into tournament golf, and starting small, but I'm confident I can do it and at least qualify. So I'll keep you posted on how that goes.
Well, please do, because Connecticut is kind of a small state, but it's pretty intense with the competition at that state. You know, when you start peeling back the layers, it's like, wait, but there's a lot going on here, competitiveness. Wise.
Yeah, there's a lot of good golfers, and it's actually a dual Connecticut Open and Connecticut Mid-Am qualifier, so I'm pretty pumped up. Been working on the game, and feel like I'm ready, but enough about my game. Just know, Keith, that I'm poised and ready.
No, not enough about your game. This brings it full circle for me, because watching you work at those greens was pretty astounding. So now, you know, coming full circle for me, I understand why you were just like the lord of the green out there.
No, appreciate that. And I did work many, as you know, many years at a couple different golf courses, and I love running events, and that was kind of my forte, kind of the outside events there. So happy to be running the putting contest and maybe a few other contests this year as well at the PGA Vine Summit.
Yeah, coming up on July 29th and through the 31st. And what kind of things are you talking about that, you know, that you're willing to disclose? You usually are very kind in, you know, giving information on this show without giving away all of the smoke and mirrors and the stuff behind. This is the Wizard of Oz here on the show with us, by the way. This is the guy, the man behind the curtain. So very seldom do you get the curtain pulled back.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, in terms of the event itself, as you know, it's an apparel fashion-focused event. It's great timing as a lot of the spring lines are coming out. So, again, most of the inside portion of the event will be focused on apparel and fashion. We have a significant fashion show that we have as well, and we can talk more about the apparel and fashion in a little bit. As far as kind of contests and kind of the fun aspect of it, the outdoor event that we had talked about last year that you participate in has really been kind of re-engineered to be really a truly a networking event, kind of a fun and entertaining evening, but also showcasing the great facilities at the home of the PGA. So the dance floor, the putting green that you experienced yourself last year, we have several putting contests there for all of our attendees and exhibitors. The swing, the lighted par three course, is open on Tuesday evening. And we have a hole-in-one contest on the final hole there as well. And we're truly excited to kind of showcase kind of everything that the venue and the campus has to offer, actually both Monday and Tuesday nights of the show. So we have a lot of outdoor events, again, in the evening. The more business-centric portion of the show will be in the nicely air-conditioned ballrooms at the Omni Frisco PGA Resort. And again, we're excited to welcome more than 160 fashion-focused brands, and a lot of business is going to be done at the end of July there, and it's a really important event for the apparel buying cycles, for sure.
So, Mark, what was your number last year that you hit? Because obviously there's a maximum number that you can accommodate.
Yep, so the ballrooms are a certain size space. We filled them up with about 150 brands last year. I think we snuck in a few more just by kind of repurposing how the floor plan is laid out. It's about 160 brands, and it's just the right amount. We limit the booth size or the exhibit size for each brand. And for the VIP buyers that we bring in, it's a really focused opportunity for them to see everybody and just to get a lot of business done in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, that's very important because you can talk. We will talk about Orlando later in the show, but because that's one of your favorite things to talk about, I know, where it's not quite as hot, but it's a much smaller show. It's a much more, I'll say the word, controllable show, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, where Orlando is kind of all things to everybody, it's the global gathering for the golf industry. This is a much more, I would say, niche focused event. Really, again, catering to, on the exhibitor side, kind of fashion, accessories, apparel. You know, for PGA professionals coming in, there's also a comprehensive education conference as well. But, again, for either the VIP buyers or PGA professionals coming in, they can, again, take advantage of the education. They can see these, you know, 150-plus brands, and then they can have a lot of best practice sharing, networking, fun, in the evenings, and really experience, again, all that the PGA of America campus has to offer. So, again, truly for those coming in, it's a great opportunity, really in two nights, 3 days max, to get a lot of business networking and relationship building done.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there, because it's not that you can't network in the big show in Orlando, but the networking part at Frisco is vital, and the fact that you can actually do that in a smaller space, I hear a lot of positiveness from manufacturers about the ability to do those kind of things.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're rushing or late for the next meeting or trying to get from one end of the convention center to the other. And again, there's so many great things about Orlando, of course, but the I would say, I don't know if it's the right word, but the more intimate nature of the time that you could spend with people here, and in a little bit less frenetic kind of pace, really lends itself well to that relationship building that is really important in the fashion world, for sure.
So how do you...
Intimate relationship building. Maybe the wrong choice of words.
That was fine. There's no intimate apparel, just for the record, at the PGA show, either in Orlando or in Frisco. Don't worry about it. But I tell you one thing, in Frisco, you definitely feel like taking your clothes off more than you do in Orlando, which is saying something. So,
yes, we actually allow our staff to wear shorts in the evening, Keith. We're progressive here.
Oh my goodness! It's right there in the backyard of the PGA of America's headquarters. I don't know what is going on here with Mark Simon and his crew, as Simon is joining us for the hour to talk about the upcoming PGA buying summit. And it's been an interesting evolvement. I know that talking with people who are in Frisco now for the PGA of America, what that transition was like coming from Florida's headquarters over there. And I'm sure from moving from Vegas over to Frisco, you kind of had to do the same thing.
Absolutely. And I think this, you know, the setting for an event is really, really important. And I think you kind of experienced it firsthand. I don't know if you got to do everything last year. But you know, we're offering tours of the headquarters building. There's educational sessions, not only there, but at the coaching center. When you look at the two 18-hole championship courses that are there, one of which will be holding an upcoming PGA championship. Again, the dance floor, which I think it's all that's good about kind of where golf is going. Kind of this just fun environment. The lighted par 3 course. The swing is what they call it. And then having kind of that mix of restaurant shops, there's an ice cream shop there, like attracting a younger, more diverse audience to the game. I think the PGA of America, the campus and the home of the PGA, really is a great showcase for kind of all that can be done and all that the game can be. So we're really proud to be able to showcase that. And it's a really beautiful setting. It's a beautiful hotel. The main building is amazing. And, you know, as you experienced last year, the dance floor is probably one of the largest putting greens I've ever been on. And then I love par 3 golf, so the 10-hole lighted swing is right up my alley. And I think the attendees, I mean, if you saw it last year, everybody had a load of fun and a load of networking at the same time. So we've just expanded on that and enhanced the offerings that we're offering for both our exhibitors and our attendees this year.
Well,
so
it was difficult not to immerse yourself in there. And Bo Welling and Gil Hans, to his credit as well, for the championship course. But Bo, with all the nuances of the dance floor and the par 3 course, and which is, let me tell you, for those listening who haven't been there yet, it's a little bit more difficult than you think it is. It's not just this little parkland thing, and you pop the ball up there. And, you know, there's a little bit of challenge. Bo's not a lightweight when it comes to designing golf courses.
100%. You're seeing that trend, whether it's the cradle at Pinehurst or, you know, all these creative names for par 3 entities at all of these, you know, resorts that are coming on board. It's just people like it and it's fun. I actually play more par 3 golf than regular. I don't even want to say regular golf, than 18-hole golf these days. It's good for the game. It's quick. It's fun. A couple of my kids really enjoy it. That's a trend that I think is a really, really positive one. And if you can kind of throw lights out there, even better, right?
Right. Yeah, the family element has been great for golf, and I really, really like to see that. But the thing about the golfers, the better golfers particularly, not including myself in that, but we can talk about Mark Simon in there, you have to make shots. People are like, oh, you're playing a par 3. Yeah, but you still have to hit the green. You still have to make putts. I mean, you know, there are easier par 3 courses than others, but you've still got to be a shot maker.
Absolutely. Agree 100%. I think it's really good for the game. And I think the time element is also important for people these days, right? You can get around in an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes.
Hour and a half. I don't know where Simon's playing. I got to get those on a list here because, no, it's tedious. It's two and a half hours to play, 9 holes. It's no fun. It's no fun. Well, but what is fun is having Mark Simon on the show. We'll be back with the Wizard after this break. And we're back with Mark Simons. Always a pleasure to spend some time with the guy making things happen. I know he's got a whole staff and a crew, and our girl Sherry is there. And, you know, Mark's never going to take credit or half credit. He won't, he certainly would never come take full credit. But, you know, if you could get him to take 25% credit, that would be huge. But so much goes on in, behind closed doors and in meetings. How many meetings have you tallied it? How many meetings for Frisco versus how many meetings for Orlando in a run-up?
That's a great question. I mean, both shows, I have not tallied that number. Maybe I should, but you'd be surprised. Planning a smaller event like this still takes a lot of time. The team is amazing for sure. Do have a lot of meetings. We did institute something, which maybe your listeners will like, a no-meeting Friday, so that you just have actually time to get stuff done. Because we're having too many meetings. So I'd recommend anybody in business have one day. If you have too many meetings, have a no meeting day. And we're even thinking about instituting that on Mondays and Fridays. But the collaboration between the team is really critical. The PGA of America and their team also, especially being kind of at their home, are really helpful in pulling off this event. And you'd be surprised. I mean, this year we're planning this a year in advance as well. And not quite the amount of people or the staff or the number of meetings versus Orlando, but it's still a huge undertaking to pull an event of this size off and off successfully, for sure.
All right. Well, I can't book tickets yet, but I will put the 20. I'm doing odd years, I guess. My friend Mark Kozlowski, longtime writer for the Dallas Morning News, was doing odd years for Orlando for a while. But then COVID messed him up. So, you know, and then he wasn't sure what year he was coming or where he was or anything. So that's me. But I'll do that. But somebody who won't be in Frisco for much longer is Seth Waugh. And he had kind of slid over and said, I want to spend more time with family. I'll still consult, but he's no longer going to be the chief at the PGA of America in Frisco, Texas. Now, so that means, Mark, you're going to have to introduce a different PGA chief next in January in Orlando. But does that have any, does Seth leaving have any impact, or how much impact does it have on what you guys do for the shows?
Yeah, I mean, Seth has been an amazing supporter for the shows. Hard to believe that I think it was more than 6 years that he was there, which yep. is, that seems like it went by in a snap of a finger. He was, you know, tremendous for the shows, a great supporter, really great person. And we had a very, very good relationship with Seth. But one person similar to myself does not make a leadership team, does not make an organization. And the PGA of America is such a strong organization. We have so many great partners there. The current president, John Linder, the incoming president, Don Ray, the leadership team. And again, all of our partners in the PGA are just so, so supportive of the show. Yes, we're going to miss Seth, and I'm sure we'll see him in Orlando for sure. But I'm sure we're in very capable hands, both with Kerry, the interim CEO, and whoever is going to be on board in the very near future, for sure.
I'm sure there will be some Seth sightings in Orlando. He can't stay away. He just can't stay away from the game. And no, who can blame him? This is what happens. This is why I've been doing this show for as long as I have. And this is why I trick this hour's guest to come back on the show as often as he does. It's all about that four-letter word, G-O-L-F. We'll get that out of there.
And we're super excited. Seth is still going to be involved in the Ryder Cup at Bethpage, kind of right in our backyard here, and one of my favorite courses. That is going to be just an amazing event next year. So can't wait for that. And, again, Seth is going to be involved in that for sure. So we will see a lot of Seth.
That's good news. I have not talked to him since he stepped over. But, Bethpage, having been to U.S. Opens at Bethpage, the Ryder Cup's going to take it to a whole another level, because just even it being at Brookline for my first Ryder Cup was crazy, and you didn't think you could top it. But I don't know, Bethpage, that many years later, still may surprise people, and that whole area is just so golf crazy, and that course, the fact that anybody can play it is just astounding as well.
So fun. Two stories I'll tell you about that real quick. Well, so I was at both Opens as well as you were. I was there on one of the really rainy days. I forgot which one, but I mean, the fans are insane. But my dad, actually growing up on Long Island, he was one of those that actually used to literally, to get a time there, you had to sleep in your car. So he would sleep in his car, and then he would get
Wait a second. Wait a second. You don't have to sleep in your car anymore? This might be breaking news. Hold on, Mark. We're going to go to a break. Save that, the rest of that story, for when we come back. I thought you still had to sleep in your car. Oh, maybe, I don't know. People just sleep in their car. It's Long Island. We have lots of Long Island stories too. Not as good as Mark Simon, this hour's guest, who will tell us that story when we come back after this break.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start the second half of the show, spending it with Mark Simon, the man behind the curtain at the PGA merchandise shows, both in Orlando and the upcoming one, the Buying Summit in Frisco, frigid Frisco, Texas. I'm gonna start calling it that just for a mindset. But before we went to Mark, I knew Mark would like that. Before we went to the break, he was talking about Bethpage and next year's Ryder Cup. It comes back to the States. It's going to be interesting how the players get selected and all that kind of stuff. But before we get there, Mark's dad apparently slept in his car. Now, are these the only times your dad ever told you, admitted he slept in his car?
Yes, that's definitely true. And again, I acquired my love for the game from my dad, who he picked it up a little later than I did. He picked it up in his early 20s, but he became just a golf nut, a golf addict, whatever you want to call it. And literally, they would, in his early 20s, literally sleep out, camp out, sleep in the car, whatever you want to call it, to get a time there. It's definitely different now. Helps if you're a New York resident, who a couple of our team members are, which is great. But I actually haven't played there in probably 6 or 7 years now. I'm looking to get out again. And the Opens there were incredible. And there's nothing like the Metro New York area fans. So I think the Ryder Cup is really going to be something special for the entire game of golf, and really can't wait for that for sure.
If nothing else, it's going to be loud. Okay, so that's the one about your dad playing Bethpage, and I have never been able to play that. Hopefully I'll get a chance to do that somewhere next year, but we'll see how that comes together. But I have to live vicariously through this hour's guests. So what's your other story that you were going to tell?
Well, the other story was that, I don't know if you remember the one open at Bethpage, and my memory's getting really bad as I get older here, but it was Tiger and Phil were both up there, and it was one of the days where there was a huge rain delay, and then they actually ended up not going back out there. But I don't know if it's really a funny story, but there were people, I don't know if you remember the hill behind 17, the par 3, there became contests of people who probably had a little bit too much to drink, but kind of doing the sledding down that 17th hill.
Oh.
There were some just crazy pictures of people covered in mud after. I remember that. And yeah, it was just a crazy scene. But you combine New York fans with a really close and competitive event, and then a course like that, and a lot of rain, and maybe a little bit of drinking, it was pretty nuts. So, a long time ago, but
yeah.
Can't wait for it to get back there.
Let's see. That was probably 2002. I don't know. It was either. That's where Tiger ended up winning. And Phil was the runner up. So I'm thinking that's one Mark is talking about. But that could have happened. That happens in Long Island any day of the week. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, I think it was okay then.
It is great having it go back to a course that technically anybody can play. That's really cool. Like, that's what the game's all about. So I love when the major championships or any big event like that are on public facilities, for sure.
Well, especially something like the U.S. Open or the Ryder Cup. And either one of them, I mean, one's put on by the USGA, the other one's put on by the PGA of America. But those are such high-level events that it's just – the whole dynamic of a golf tournament changes when you talk about something like the Ryder Cup.
100%. So yeah. So anyway, I think, you know, Seth and the great team of the PGA of America, I think they're super excited for that event. And I think it's going to be great for golf, amongst many other exciting things for golf coming up, not only the Olympics, the Open Championship, and yeah. And most importantly, the PGA Buying Summit in Frisco in 3 weeks.
There you go. Wait, see, I knew he'd bring it right back to there. We started getting off the rails talking about golf in general, yeah. And he's not on the show to talk about golf in general, but we're going to do it with him anyway. But no, it's just, so what do you do? Do you carve out a time of the week to play or watch your golf or do things like that around the game?
Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, I keep up with social media, obviously. As you may or may not know, I had a very strong meteorological background. So my morning routine is a little bit of Golf Channel, a little bit of Weather Channel, a little bit of Sports Center, and a tiny bit of CNBC. So that's like an hour before I get kind of into the day. And then, you know, I just kind of keep up with social media. Our team is very knowledgeable about what's going on. Obviously, our conversations with the PGA of America. And then I'll try to catch, obviously, a little bit of golf on the weekend, whether it's LPGA, PGA events, or anything else that's going on kind of in the golf world. And I think it's, you know, still important to be updated and kind of know what's going on. And it definitely helps, definitely in terms of even planning our events and especially heading into Orlando coming up at the end of the year, for sure.
Wow. So 80 degrees in Frisco now may be a real possibility with your meteorological background. Who knew?
Yes. So again, watching very closely now, I'm glad we were not there this week with kind of the hurricane coming through. And luckily, you know, it's going to skirt the Dallas area, but kind of hit Houston and Galveston pretty hard. And definitely watched. I mean, that's important anyway. I was the one back when I used to work at a golf course 20 years ago who said, you know, you got to watch the Weather Channel. You got to pay attention to the radar. And I would be the one all the members would be asking about. Can we still get out there? Can we play? Am I going to get the round in? And that sort of thing. So I think there is kind of a cool intersection between weather and golf. And, yeah, it's always been a passion of mine and try to now keep it kind of more of a hobby on the side. But definitely we'll be watching the Frisco forecast and even watch the Orlando forecast very closely as we head into January to make sure there's no nor'easters or, you know, big storms coming in the Midwest. So definitely a very key intersection between weather and golf for sure.
I'll tell you, a guy who combines weather and golf is Jim Cantore. And who would have known?
My favorites.
This guy is a true celebrity. I've been at golf tournaments with him, and people ask for his autograph. He's playing as a named celebrity. It is something else to see. But he is a golf nut, too. So I got great appreciation for that. So maybe you guys can switch one day.
I think we chatted about that before in our interview before Orlando about getting him to the show 1 year. So definitely a mission of mine for sure. And I think it speaks to kind of how golf kind of touches everything. You have meteorologists who are passionate. You have Caitlin Clark, who's a huge golfer, who I'm not sure a lot of people know about. A ton of musicians. Like, it's really the intersection of fashion, music, weather, and so many other athletes in other sports. So it's really cool for the game, and it's an exciting time to be in golf for sure.
Yeah, well, this is why this show has been so great, because I've been able to cut across all those things you talked about, and the centralization is all about golf. I've even had guests on because of who they were, and golf bleeds in. They're like, oh, well, I was going to go out and play yesterday, but I had a concert. You know, there we go. So, you know, brings it full circle. It's an amazing game. It's an incredible dynamic part of the industry to be involved with. I know that's one of the things you love about it, because you guys work very hard to put these shows on, and a lot of moving parts, especially in Orlando, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, you know, to be able to be involved with the game of golf in one way or another, it just makes you feel good about what you do.
And Keith, we'll bring the music. The music piece of it will bring it back to kind of a discussion about Frisco, because we did incorporate a few elements from Orlando where we had a very significant concert. Definitely not to that level here, but the outdoor event that we're having Tuesday evening at the Buying Summit in Frisco We are bringing in some entertainment. We think that kind of enhances what's going on from a networking perspective. We do have the Emerald City Band, which is going to be performing during the Summer Jam Fest on Tuesday evening. They were actually the band that played in Jordan Spieth's wedding. So we're excited to have actually live entertainment during the Summer Jam on the evening of Tuesday, July 30th from 7 to 11.
Outstanding. We're talking to Mark Simon, the man behind the curtain making it happen in Frisco and also in Orlando in January. So this past January, you had a musical element as well. So I'm guessing that's going to continue because it seemed to go over pretty well.
Yeah, that was a huge hit. And that's, you know, I think that's a great example of just doing things differently. That's kind of like surprising your exhibitors and attendees of an event that maybe they weren't expecting, but that really makes it a much more memorable experience. It allows for really cool networking and just fun, right? And just a very different environment. So yeah, Jake Owen was a huge hit for the PGA Show Winter Jam at the 24 PGA Show. And probably in the next, I would say, 6 to 8 weeks, we'll be announcing the act for the 2025 PGA Show. We are definitely continuing with the Winter Jam. And stay tuned for that announcement.
Okay, so you will actually announce it, because I know last year maybe things came together legally a little later than expected, or the ink took a little long to dry, but it seemed to be a surprise to a lot of people. You know, the announcement came a little later than I think some people were expecting.
Absolutely, and again, yeah, the announcement came probably 6 weeks before the show. A lot of people hadn't heard about that, but then were surprised, and again, I would say delighted by the concert experience that took place at that show. And again, a little more lead time. We'll definitely let people know well in advance. And I think it's going to be a night that people will mark on their calendars for sure.
I'm not surprised about that at all. So which excites you more, Texas or Florida? And I mean from a show standpoint.
Each in different ways. I would say Texas and Frisco, one, because, I mean, the setting is amazing. To be able to showcase an event at the home of the PGA is just so cool. And even on our end, to be able to spend more time with our key customers, both on the exhibitor and the buyer side, that's really cool even for us because we're running around like crazy in Orlando, as you know, and I almost feel rushed when I'm talking to people. Like my mind's always on the next meeting down the line. And that's not a good way to be, right? So I feel like I could be more present, more engaged, and have real conversations with people here in Frisco. So in that way, super excited for Frisco. And then Orlando, I mean, Orlando is, you know, if you love golf, you know, it's the global gathering for the golf industry. It's an event you can't miss. And I think just because of the scale, because of the excitement, because of how it impacts, you know, 30,000 plus people. Like, I think in that way, you know, the major of golf business is super exciting for me in that way. So I think both are, you know, I get equally excited, but in very, very different ways.
That makes a lot of sense because it was in Frisco where I heard, oh, that's Mark Simon. And you don't hear that in Orlando because Mark's like vapor. He's floating all over the place. And that's pretty funny. I like what you said, because every time I briefly see you, that's exactly what your face looks like. I'm on my way to the next meeting. That's running through my mind.
Yeah, it's probably not a good way to be, right?
Good to see you. Got to go.
The nature of what Orlando is. Yeah.
It reminds me.
We got to have a conversation, right, in Frisco, Keith. That was good.
It was. It was great. It reminds me of those executives who say, walk with me. Walk with me. You know, as they're on,
on
their way to the next
Very
meeting.
Very true.
But, you know, it's interesting. For as much time and energy and everything that gets put into this, and I know you have a great team, and I know that team has expanded different ways over the years, you always seem to be very energetic towards the shows, as they approach. And I don't know if that's because the excitement is we've done all the hard work and now it's upon us, or what it is. What is it?
Look, I'll say this. You know, we try to hire people on our team who have that passion and energy for golf and events. And that's kind of me. Like, I always grew up, I love events, right? But even more so, I love golf. And when you're doing something that is helping the golf industry, how could you not get excited for that? So I'm pumped up because what we're doing is helping. It's a dream job for me, right? I grew up in golf. My dad, you know, was a huge golfer, a golf coach, loved golf. Most of my friends are because of the golf industry. So to be able to give back and help grow the industry, whether it's a big event or small event, I'm super excited about that. And I love events. So when you combine kind of both of those things and working with great people, yeah, it would be crazy if I wasn't excited. How's that, Keith?
Yeah, that's great.
Is that a fair answer?
That is an excellent answer, actually, Mark. And I got to say, I think that's one of the reasons that I've really enjoyed doing this show over the years, is these people that come on the show that you have just met, per se, and it turns into a whole development of a conversation. But then sometimes you do end up being friends, or you stay in contact, or your business friends, or however it is. You know, not everybody's your drinking buddy, but at the same token, you know, you just never know how that turns out. And it's been interesting that way, because that's something I never envisioned and I never really thought about and I never saw coming.
I love that you're saying that. But see, I mean, you're the same way. You're in service to the golf industry, right? And I feel like there's a service mentality in golf, but I think the majority, and again, it's not everybody, but I think more so in the golf industry, there's good people and there's caring people and there's passionate people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you combine all of those things, yeah, you establish lifelong friendships, right? And it's great to be able to work with people like that. And again, many of them become really good friends. And if not, at least really good connections that share a common interest and a common passion. So it's been cool. I mean, I love it. Love it. So
yeah.
Excited. I get excited for this, for the PGA Buy-In Summit in 3 weeks. Like, it's great to be there. The energy of being face to face, right? It's cool. It's dynamic. And I can't wait.
Yeah. And you're not pretending. I mean, people know that. They say when Mark Simon comes on, they know you're not pretending that you're happy or that you're energetic or whatever. You just, this is Mark Simon as you get him. I'm, you know, I don't know how you are in meetings, but you know, outside the door, this is how you are.
I will say, earlier today, coming off of a 4-day holiday weekend, that was not that great of me. That's not that energetic, but I was saving it for you, Keith. How's that?
Yeah, that's appreciated, because yes, you know, you got to schedule this well in advance. And you know, we got to trick them to come on the show sometimes, and you got to fit it in there. But you know, it's important. You're performing a public service, Mark. You have to think about this way, right? You are
100%,
informing.
100%.
You are informing the public. It may not be as general a public as a lot of PSAs would be, but you know, this golf segment is vital. And if you look at what has happened with the playability, the recreational player, he's exploded. The professionals, they're a bunch of knuckleheads swirling around in their own head. We know that. We realize that.
Yep,
but a lot of people who want to follow the game of golf have realized that, and they're like, wait, why don't I go work on my game? Why don't I have some enjoyment while these guys over here figure out what they're doing, whatever that is, if they ever figure that out?
Yep, I love where recreation golf is at right now. I even look at, you know, a couple of my kids and their friends, and like, golf is cool. Like, they play. Like, this was not the case. Like, when I was growing up, I played with the people who played on the golf team or played in college. Now it's like, so many people either want to get into golf or are playing golf. My son is 20. Like, 5 of his 7 really good friends are all into golf. And it's, like, incredible. And I love that they have that kind of common experience. And, again, they go out on the course. They listen to music. They just have fun. And it's great. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's definitely great having Mark on. Heading to our final break. We'll be back to wrap up the show. And we are back for our final segment, joined this hour by Mark Simon of Reed Exhibitions, but the PGA show coming up, the PGA Buying Summit in Frisco, Texas, in January, the Big Daddy, the PGA merchandise show in lovely, not as hot as Frisco, Orlando, Florida. So Mark is excited about that, too, you can tell, because as soon as this one ends, you must work parallel. There's no way that you don't work on the Orlando show along the way, because the Frisco show, I don't want to say gets in the way, but it's there, and then you have to, right after that's over, then you're on to working back on Orlando as well.
Absolutely. Like we don't say, like, from April or from March to July, it's Frisco only. No, it's kind of, I mean, we had a two-hour meeting about Orlando. That was the meeting that I was struggling with this morning, but about all that we're doing for Orlando. So it's absolutely concurrent planning. I will say that kind of May, June, and early July are heavy on the Frisco side, for sure. But absolutely, we're planning for kind of both shows at the same time. I think the rest of the year is definitely a lot more PGA Show in Orlando focused, but definitely concurrent. And yeah, we're working on both simultaneously for most of the year, for sure.
And you're always working to make improvements. Now, I know I appreciate that you take feedback from members of the media or from apparently from the merchandisers and other people like that. But how can you elevate a show that's as old as the PGA Merchandise Show?
So that's a great question. I think the answer to that is not being afraid to try new things, right? Number one is listening to your customers, because they have many of the great ideas that are out there that have kind of been tested, implemented, and work really well. But not being afraid to do something different, like the Winter Jam concert, for example. You know, you wouldn't normally think, let's put a concert on the show floor, right?
Right.
That is not something you would normally have at a golf industry business gathering. So to have that and to do, like, kind of that surprise and delight, like taking chances and not being afraid to fail. Like, there's a chance that could have not worked well and people didn't attend. But, again, it was packed. We had 3,000 people there. The area, it was filled up completely. So trying new things, if they fail, that's okay, as long as you keep trying. You can't have the same old show every year. You have to do new things. You have to do different things. We have to appeal to a younger and more diverse demographic. And I think doing things like a concert definitely help to kind of change, just to keep the show fresh and new and innovative every year. That's kind of our goal, right? Keep the things that work really, really well. Keep the focus on kind of business and lead generation for our exhibitors. But as far as, we need to create memorable events, magical events that people have fun, that they remember, and that they want to come back to each and every year. And we do that by changing things up and doing things differently and testing things. So yeah, that's, I think, how we keep it fresh for sure.
I think that's fantastic. I ran across a lanyard or a placard the other day from 2003. From the PGA Merchandise Show, and it was back when Best was there. It was Ben Hogan, Etonic, Spalding, yep, and Top Flight. And they put on this huge event, closed down the streets and everything else. But that was a fantastic year. But every year there used to be a name brand concert off-site.
Yeah, Universal or Pleasure Island, right? Yeah,
right. That was a must attend, and if you could get in, it was great. But that was always one of those events that people always talked about later on, years later. Do you remember when we saw, you know, Daryl Hall and John Oates? Did you remember when we saw Alice Cooper or whoever it was that came through? And those kind of special things to go along with the PGA Merchandise Show, which is a thing unto itself, it sticks with people, and I think it makes it extra special.
Yeah, but I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you have to have the business focus. You know, for exhibitors, are we generating more leads for them? Are they writing business? What are the networking opportunities? But at the same time, you have to have those other things, those intangibles, those evening events, the networking, the fun, the wow factor, the magic, as we like to say. And if you can combine those two successfully, creating really positive business objectives, helping, you know, brands to build their business, and then having memorable experiences at the same time, I think that's a winning combination for a successful event, for sure.
Yeah, well, you keep doing that, and good luck. And Frisco, I'll miss you, but hopefully I'll see you next year. It's always good to talk to you. I'm going to hold you to that 80-degree thing, and we'll talk again just for the fun and heck of it, but it's always great to have you on the show. Mark Simon, the PGA exhibitions from Reed and all that kind of stuff that he does. His business card has a lot of stuff on it. It's too big, but he's the man behind the curtain. He's been our guest on TDP with Keith Jones. But we're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Mark would want you to. Practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.